Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a fascinating show today. You know, so many people right now, especially right now, are talking about healthcare, talking about medicine, talking about medical technology. And of course, at .com Magazine, we're so fascinated with the technologists that are leading the way. Anytime we can get a leader in the field on the show, we always reach out to them and see if they can make some time for us. And today, well, we have a real leader in the field. His name is Rob Pupelis, and he is the CEO of a company called Spectros MDI. Wait till you hear what they do. I mean, they're empowering doctors. They're supporting patients. They've got a great technology platform. He's one of the leaders in the field. Rob, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate you having me on.
It's super great to have you. We've looked into this. Everybody, you know, is talking about what you're doing at Spectros. But before we get started, because we have so many questions, and of course, people have, you know, that watch the show have reached out with a number of questions when we bring medical technologists in as well. Let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet and tell us about Spectros MDI to get started.
Gotcha. So we are a device manufacturer, as we've already stated here. Our flagship product is a tissue oximeter. So what that means is that we're monitoring a blood flow both in tissue and out of tissue. We measure the oxygen level and the hemoglobin levels. And our primary focus at this point is microsurgery. So if you think about post-cancer patients or traumatic injury where part of the body has to be moved from one place to another. A big part of our business is women's healthcare, breast cancer survivors, where we move belly tissue and it's placed, or we don't, but the surgeons do. Belly tissue is placed to create new breast tissue. And our device will tell them that that tissue is healthy. It lets the doctor know, gives them peace of mind, and the patient, of course, that patient is there's getting oxygen to that tissue both in and out. So it's very exciting and it's real time. So it's an exciting technology.
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, when we think about what's happening in medicine, the technology advancements are incredible. And you're sort of in the middle of the whole thing with this T-STAT tissue oximeter, I believe you call it. And pardon me for, you know, not getting the name perhaps right, because I'm not a physician. But when you think about it, when I think about it, when our team was talking about it as laymen, and we're saying to ourselves, wow, you know, these doctors can get real-time sort of unique monitoring after the surgery is done. It's just remarkable. So for the layman watching the show, maybe break it down a little bit more simpler so they can understand it even better.
Yeah. So in microsurgery, they're in order to move tissue from one part of the body to another, they actually have to sever both the artery and the vein. So it's fascinating. They're using microscopes and tiny little instruments, and they're reconnecting those vessels somewhere else in the body. So they're recreating a living tissue, moving bone, moving muscle, moving fat, and reconnecting it all so that it survives where it's placed. So what our device does is, you know, anytime you disconnect an artery or a vein, what's going to happen is that vein can kink, that artery can fold, there can be a slowdown in blood flow. And every moment counts when that occurs. So our device tells them in real time how well that blood flow is happening. We're measuring the what we call tissue oxygen saturation. So STO2 is a term. So that lets us know that oxygen is getting into the tissue. So that it's actually the earliest form of notice when there is some sort of compromise. So to put it in perspective, you can clinically look at tissue and it looks normal, it looks healthy. But if that blood stops flowing, that tissue is actually starting to die off almost immediately. And so our device can tell in minutes that blood flow is stopping. And we have about a 2 to 3 hour window if that occurs to save the tissue. So our device actually allows the surgeon to take the patient back to surgery, get that, find out what the problem was and get it fixed so that the patient can go on.
That's fantastic. And of course, you and your team, you speak to physicians and healthcare administrators all the time. So thank you for breaking it down for someone that's not really in that field. Who's the client? Who's reaching out to you saying, hey, we've heard about Spectros. We want to work with the leader in sort of non-invasive optical sensing and advanced patient monitoring.
So our end user, our fans, if you will, are the surgeon themselves, right? They have to be a proponent. Research and development is a big expense, and so they need to be on board with what you're doing. So that's one thing I think we're real fortunate about. My team, myself included, and several people on my team have 25 years experience or more working in the plastic and reconstructive surgery world. So when we want to modify, when we want to update, when we want to look at things, we go right to the source, and they tell us. They're quite honest. After 25 years, they tell me, Rob, this isn't good enough. That's not good enough. Here's what I need. And we sit down with our ops team and our engineers and we do it. We do it as best we can. So that's sort of exciting. It's sort of like having an inside track really with those folks.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Of course, you built a world-class team. It's one obviously that you're very proud of. When you look at bringing someone on the team at Spectros, what's the thing you're looking for? Are you looking for talent? Are you looking for mindset? Are you looking sort of for the idea that they're going to be customer centered for the physicians and the surgeons using your innovative, non-invasive optical sensing and advanced patient monitoring system? I got that out in one.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, it's everything, really. They have to be part of the team. The whole mindset, like you said, our mission is to improve patient outcomes and hopefully also improve the surgical experience for the physician or the surgeon, right? So they have to be part of that. They've got to be willing to do whatever it takes, and I don't mean that in a dangerous or scary way. I just mean they've got to think outside the box. They've got to. Problem solve. They have to bring ideas. They have to work. You have to pick up the ball and just take it, whether that means you're answering the worst small company, whether, I answer the phone. Our VP of sales answers the phone. We're here to help. And so that's what has to be number one on the mind of the team.
Yeah. And that's what makes a company great. You know, when we think about it, someone calls you, they go through the process, they learn about Spectros. How do they learn how to use it? I mean, do you have specialists that go into the field that teach them how to use the monitoring and, sensing program?
Absolutely. We have a whole, like a training program, if you will. COVID changed the world, right? So we created training videos for how each department would interact with the T-STAT. So each, whether that's in the OR or the recovery floor or even the PACU department, no one wants to watch a 20-minute training video. So we took and got, we have 3-minute and 5-minute, depending on each person interacts with it. So that's one way that we do it. It's how we learned last year. But we've created what we call a hub sales force. And what I mean by that is that you can sort of liken it to an airline, right? Where United has a Chicago hub and a Houston hub. And the reason we did that is because this is so specialized. We want to make sure who's going into that surgery, who's going there to train and teach, has seen virtually everything that you can see in that environment. We want full success. So that's how we operate the sales and support staff.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And of course, I know you have a web-based application called OnCall. Let's talk about that. Is that what the physician sort of has on his or her phone that they can sort of access the real-time information there?
Absolutely. It's not just, it's a web-based. So it's not an app like on, like just on your phone. So you do log in, but it has, it delivers real-time data. Each surgeon will have a secure login that lists their devices, whether that's at one hospital or at six different hospitals. And believe it or not, we do have surgeons, because this is so specialized, we'll operate at six different facilities. It's crazy. But so they have all their devices, they log in, they see in real time. So each T-Stat device will upload raw data. So it's a perfectly, it's patient safe. There's no HIPAA violations there, but raw data is uploaded to a secure server, and it actually replots the data, it regraphs the data. So the surgeons can see in real time, every single patient's stats. It's very exciting. And that one, what's nice about that one is we can change it on the fly. So Andy, if you were one of my surgeons and you said to me, you know, I wish the, you know, the graph also showed this too, or the time length was this long, or it alerted me in this manner. We could make that change for you, because it doesn't have to live in the device. It lives in the web and can be fixed. That same system, I'm sorry if I'm rambling, but I'm excited to talk about this. That same system can send an alert. It has a text alert system. So they can set a baseline that if a number falls below a certain point, that they get a text. And if they do get that text, they simply click on a link and it automatically takes them exactly to that graph. So they know what device is having an issue, and they get right back to that patient as soon as possible.
It's so smart. I mean, it's such a great technology. When I'm listening to you speak as a layman, I'm saying to myself, wow, you're changing so many lives. And of course you mentioned breast cancer, and certainly, you know, as we continue to get older, me certainly being as old as I am, you know, you start hearing more stories about breast cancer and other things. And, you know, your program you mentioned sort of is becoming more and more used in the breast cancer field. So let's talk about that and how that helps, you know, that particular disease with the doctors that are handling those patients.
Well, it's definitely the biggest part of what we do. I should say those are our end users do that more than most surgeries. You know, it's a devastating time for a woman. And I can't completely relate. But they go through a lot, and they go through a lot to decide what to do. And I think that whatever the decision is, whether that's an in-place implant-based reconstruction or the what we call a deep flap, which is what the T-Stat is used, that's a big decision for the patient. So I think any tool in the box that can give them some peace of mind going forward, I think is helpful. I mean, these women are strong, and I think if we can help them feel strong along the way, that's a win.
They're very strong, of course. Now, do you do clinical studies? Are you participating in any clinical studies right now? Let's talk about that, because I find that to be a fascinating aspect of any technology medical business.
We do. So yeah, it's been a couple of years since we've had one published, but MD Anderson here in Houston published a study, sort of validating the accuracy of the device itself, if you will. And that's exciting, because it really illustrated that the T-Stat catches it before any other method. And there are a few other methods out there. There are a few other devices out there, but ours seems to be the leader in catching it first. So that's hugely exciting. We launched a new device, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation, and it's more sensitive. So at first that there was a learning curve there. So we're really watching that. And now we're seeing things where when surgeons use multiple arteries, we're seeing like a higher level of blood flow than we would normally see. So we're going to study those things. You know, there are lots of factors when you're recovering, and they could be anesthesia related, they could be patient demographic related, they could be BMI related. There are so many factors there. So I think that's our next course of study, is to use the device to help understand what type of patient is going to have what type of outcome early, so that we know, you have a safety net, if you will, that the T-STAT's verifying what you thought would occur.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I'm thinking to myself right now, but prior to T-STAT, prior to, the technology, what did the physicians use? Or did they have nothing and they just found out when there was a challenge or a problem, like along the way after the surgery?
So originally, it was all clinical diagnosis. You had healthcare has changed. There's so many more nurses now. There's so many healthcare facilities. In the places, this is also a microcosm. Microsurgery is a microcosm of even plastic surgery. And so you had these nurses that, worked with these surgeons that did these type of surgeries for 30 years, but now there's so many more new people and young people, and it's a hard thing to judge. You also can't see beyond certain aspects. One big advantage we have, again, is that we don't see color. The device can work on any skin tone. So if you were looking for a tissue to change color as your optimal way of telling when there's a problem, that became difficult on African-American skin. But we don't have that issue. That's a big improvement over just clinical diagnosis.
That's so fascinating. When we were researching what you do and we were looking at the technology, of course, we're lay people. We're not physicians over here at .com magazine. But we originally were saying to ourselves, this seems to be a very invasive kind of a thing that they've got going here. And then the more we researched it, the more we understood it was a non-invasive kind of a thing. So let's talk about that, because that was pretty fascinating for the team to discover.
We have four types of sensors. Two are surface sensors. So they just, they have like a little peel and stick. They're placed on the tissue wherever they are. They're small. They're 1 centimeter and a 2.5 centimeter. So they'll go right on the skin and shine through. We have another sensor that is an intraoral sensor. It actually hooks inside the mouth and will read systemic output. So it can tell us systemically what's happening. So that's an area we haven't even scratched the surface on yet. We've done a little work in the neonatal world with that, but it can tell you, it can measure how well a medication might or might be affecting a certain indication that you're trying to treat. So those are things in the future that we're looking at. But yes, all invasive. There is also an endoscopic sensor, which of course is not invasive. But also, sometimes you need a way to measure oxygen in other tissues too, or organs.
It's so fascinating when you're speaking, Rob, I'm saying to myself, wow, Spectros has so many things on the drawing board using these groundbreaking LED sensors, if you will, and they can help so many people. So it sort of leads me to my thought about what's it like to be Rob waking up in the morning? When you think about it, there's so many entrepreneurs that go to work and they do their thing, but they're not really like really impacting lives. They're not really doing something that's really important in somebody's health, which is the most important thing in the world. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So Rob, when you wake up in the morning as the CEO, of course, of Spectros, what's the things that go through your mind about attacking that day as an entrepreneur that are changing people's lives?
That's a tough question. It's humbling. It's terrifying, but it's also exciting. I mean, if you think you can change a single life, if you think you can make a surgeon's life easier so that they can do a better job, I think that's a big deal. And I mentioned earlier our close relationships with a lot of our surgeons. They're the starting point. They're the people that tell us, here's what I need from you. So I think Rob is fortunate to have that. My team is fortunate to have people that want to pick up the phone and call us and tell us what's next. So I think that's what's in my head every day. Okay, what's on the agenda today, but also what's next? So we think ahead. We think about how we can do better and what's coming down the pike.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. Of course, you speak to so many surgeons. Your team speaks to so many surgeons. Do you find that surgeons are open arms with regard to technology, with regard to ways to improve their practice and improve the technology behind the surgery themselves?
Absolutely. So much has changed in healthcare. As I said, I've been around for over 25 years, and there are so many new things coming out. And what I like about the folks, we work a lot with a lot of academic programs, and so they don't just jump in, right? They want you to prove it to them. They want you to illustrate how it works. And that, quite frankly, is exciting for us. We love to do trials with new surgeons, new facilities. So I always welcome it. If someone says, oh, can I try it? I'm like, of course you could try it. I mean, it's one of the most exciting moments we have is to show us, to show people what the device can do.
Yeah, it's awesome. And of course, when you wake up in the morning and your team goes to work, it's all about really improving patient outcomes. And, you know, you're dedicated to this advanced technology and providing the highest level of service, of course, to the physicians that use the product. And of course, I'm sure they're just loving it. And the patients, I'm sure, are just getting much better outcomes with their physicians that are using your technology. So it's fantastic. Now, when we think about it, I have a friend of mine, okay? He had to go in for a brain surgery for a tumor. And thank God he made it through. I spoke with him afterward. He said, Jake, he said, basically, it was a robot that did the surgery. So when we think about the future and we think about medicine, where do you see it all going? I mean, do you just see it becoming much more technologically advanced and technologically driven as the years go on?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm blown away by our surgeons. So I don't think we'll ever lose the human aspect there. Those robots that your friend mentioned have somebody behind there doing it. There are folks we work with that use those systems, and they use those systems in conjunction with the surgeries we've been talking about today. And they still need something post-operative. It still needs guidance. It needs human guidance. You have to select, and a lot of times it's judgment. So I will always trust the surgeon first, quite honestly. But no, you need a toolbox, and that toolbox is definitely growing. So that's a good place to be.
Yeah, and I have so many friends that are surgeons, and they're just remarkable people. It's so fascinating to watch what they do, how they go to work every day, and the way in which they really provide this skilled, you know, medicine. When we look at recovery times, it seems to me when I was growing up, it took a long time to recover from everything. And now here I am, you know, in my 60s, and it seems like the recovery times, from what I hear, keep getting shorter and shorter. Is that the way you see it? And in the future, will recovery times continue to get shorter and shorter?
I think that's twofold. And again, I'm not a doctor, but the things are less invasive now. Like you said, the robots, the endoscopic procedures, so much of that. But also science is telling us that patients don't need to lay around for 7 days after most surgeries. They want that heart pumping. They want that blood flowing. They want them getting up. They want those muscles moving. So I think that's a big impact too. I've seen that change just in the 10 years I've been in the microsurgery world. I've seen that change where people would stay in the hospital with the same type of surgery we're talking about today for 5-6 days. And now it's just 2 and 3. And it's because they're up, they're moving, and they have more confidence that the patient's doing better based on the tools in the box.
I love it. It's great to see so many people are getting such great advanced healthcare, and certainly with companies like Spectros and the other companies out there in the various spaces that are putting together technology to help people's lives improve after surgery, before surgery, during surgery. It's really remarkable. Now, Rob, I know you've only cut out a certain amount of time. You're running this company. I'm sure there's so many people whose lives even today are being impacted with your technology as we speak right now. But I want to turn the conversation to entrepreneurship. You know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs that watch the show. Sometimes as an entrepreneur, especially the younger ones that watch the show, they kind of freeze in the frame. Once in a while, they hit a roadblock or they hit a wall that they can't get through. And I was hoping you might be able to shed some light to the younger entrepreneurs watching the show, based on your experience, of course, about what it takes to get through a tough time, what it takes to get through a rocky road, how to get through a pothole, come out the other side, having improved yourself and your company for going through that tough time.
Well, one of the, you can't forget who you are. You have to, you can't change your principles because you hit a stumbling block. And I mean, there's always, it's cliche, but there's always another day, right? So there's always a way to dig yourself out of whatever the hole is. And there's always a network of someone out there that can help you. So there are, of course, tons of groups. There's people like you and all the people that you interview that are a huge help. So I've been lucky to people just cross the path. Our engineer here is a friend of my son's, actually. So he interned with us and I enjoyed working with him so much. I'm like, hey, when you're done, would you consider coming to work for us full time? I mean, it was things like that happen. And I think, there's a little kismet, but it also goes back to the fact that, stick to yourself, stick to the mission, stick to your beliefs and something you'll find a way. Don't give up.
I love it. Stick to it. You know, Rob.
Make it happen. I got it right there. Make it happen.
I love it. Make it happen. Of course. Yeah. And, it's so interesting that you said that, because when you think about it, of course, if you're an entrepreneur and you're not hitting a pothole and you're not hitting a wall once in a while, it just means you're not pushing hard enough in the business. So it almost should be welcome to the younger entrepreneurs when they hit that pothole, because they know they're pushing hard in a way that's going to get them to that pothole. And when they get through the pothole, they're going to be a better company for it. Rob, this is awesome. I mean, I'm so happy to have you on the show. I want to bring you back because I want to talk about the future. I mean, what you're doing at Spectros MDI is very fascinating. And of course, you've got so many things on tap. And like you said, you wake up in the morning, you think about today as a CEO, but you're also thinking about the future. So I think it would be great to have you back and sort of position the conversation about what a CEO has to do to balance those two things, thinking about today and thinking about the future. And it's just fascinating to me how there's people out there like you leading a great team with a great technology, improving lives through technology. And I'm sure there's so many people walking around today that are just so happy that their physicians elected to use, of course, Spectros MDI. And this has been great to have you on the show. And Rob, congratulations on what you're doing. It's a real honor to have you here. And thanks so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate the opportunity.